So there is a place of safety that God has provided for us. First, our homes, light in the dwelling, and then in the assembly where the Lord is in the midst of his people. There is no greater enjoyment of fellowship than to come around the Lord Jesus and to remember him. Young people, we want to encourage you, if you say that you love the Lord, if you say that you recognize what he's done for you personally, to respond to his request to remember him. If you had someone that you love very dearly who made a simple request on their dying bed, I dare say you would do all you could to fulfill that request. And the man who was beaten beyond recognition, who was set at naught, who was falsely accused, who stood in the gap between God and us, has asked that you come on the Lord's day to remember him. The day of resurrection, the new beginning. It is the Lord's day where the Lord's people come together to remember the Lord. It is a wonderful place. When the assembly comes together, we speak about leaving the world outside, because this is something that is unique to the Christian, that we can come in a simple way and look at that loaf and see in that loaf a symbol of a body, his body that was given in death, to see in the cup blood, the symbol of his blood shed, that we might know forgiveness of sins, iniquities pardon, and that we might be brought to God. You know, it's not good enough, Brother Amel talked about, did we read through the Bible? It's not good enough for 12 months for us to go by, and we come back next year, and we're still asking, well, are you breaking bread? It's time for us to move on, to be steadfast, to take up these things in fellowship, because then what you'll find is that you have a common bond. You see, sometimes we like to deal on the perimeter. We're there, but, you know, we're not really part of things. And we're not really in the world, you know, and sometimes we start to touch something there. But, you know, we know, like Peter started to curse amongst those who were warming themselves by the fire. But they looked, they said, look, even his speech tells us that he's not one of us. So you're in this state of limbo. Step with both feet into the assembly of God and enjoy the privileges and the responsibilities that are associated with it.
And that could be an answer to the question that you might get from your friends. They might ask you, and I'm sure many of you were asked that question, where do you go to church? And right away you try either to give an address or to try to kind of just in a sheepish way to try to explain, well, you know, and you're kind of embarrassed about it. When somebody asks you where you go to church, said, hey, we are the church.
Amen.
Maybe somebody will, for the first time in his life, say, what? Yes, we are the called out people. We are the church. We are the assembly. We go to the meeting.
That's right.
That might be an open for a conversation, because don't try to make up any stories. Here is the word of God. Then they might ask you, and what do you do in that meeting? And you would say, well, you know, we do, and you try to figure out something to say to him. Acts 2:42. You would say, we are steadfastly, if you ask anybody in Jerusalem at that time, what are these 3,120 people do? They said, oh, they steadfastly go to the ministry meeting. There's a Bible reading. That is the apostle doctrine. They're always in fellowship with one another. They are breaking bread on the Lord's day. And they are in a prayer meeting. That's what characterized them. So if anybody asks you, what do you do? Or if you wanted to know really what should characterize a group of believers, a local assembly, it is right here. Acts 2:42. One quick note on the apostle doctrine, because I think it's important to take a hold of that, because as we will move on, we would realize that there are many doctrines, many teaching. What kind of doctrine we're talking about here? What kind of teaching? Whose teaching is it? Whose doctrine is it? I'm asking a question, and I'm looking for an answer. Anybody? Whose doctrine is it? The apostle doctrine. Thank you, John. I'm glad to have you here. It's the apostle doctrine. Why it's not just Peter's doctrine or the disciples' doctrines, or why is apostle? What is the word apostle? What is the word apostle implies? Authority.
Authority.
They were messenger. That's an apostle. Coming from somebody with a set of teachings. The Lord Jesus is telling the disciples. I think the verse was quoted earlier. Built on the apostles. The teaching of the apostles. The teaching of the word of God. And there is authority that's involved in that. That's important to take a hold of as we will move on. It is the apostles' doctrines. There is authority involved with it. It's coming from the Master through these messengers to us, and you find it in the Word of God. And if you don't need the Word of God, if you don't go to the ministry meeting and the Bible reading, you would not know the apostle doctrine. There is no way unless you are there. Fellowship we talked about, and prayer. And for a moment, I want to ask you a question. I think David asked that question. How about the prayer meeting? How about the prayer meeting?
Prayer is something that is an indication that I'm dependent on someone. If there is a lack of prayer in my life, I'm really saying, I can do this. I can handle this all by myself. And then we find that we've got the problem that Marco was telling us about earlier. Prayer is the result of the reality that I'm not strong enough to do this by myself. I'm dependent on someone. And this someone would be the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's my Lord, then I'm dependent upon him. Where is my prayer? Am I at the prayer meeting?